Hey, everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and brought to you by official sponsor, Mike Wagner Show, international warring author, Mia Molson's The Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. He's back by popular demand. I think we've lost count how many times he's been on. He's the influential host of Movie Reviews and More, also founder of Dreamweaver's Art and the Artist Ranch, and he's also been on Talk for Media, iHeart, and also KHND Radio and iTube 24/7, and we've been on each other's show before, and he's got a really popular Movie Reviews and More every Tuesday night. You can catch it on YouTube and more, and he's originally from Hartford, Connecticut, a huge Bugle Corps fanatic as well too. And what's up with this amazing Brian Sebastian? I guess we'll just find out. We don't need an introduction. And Brian, I just want to say, first of all, it's like, it's great to have you on, and tell us what you've been up to these days.
You know, it's funny. Well, I like coming on your show, Mike, because we're old school radio, and not a lot of people can understand that, you know, or do you not meet a lot of old school radio who are doing podcasts. So I, as you know, I always say TV, radio, podcast, because that's the correct way to do it.
TV, radio, podcast. I like that. I'll have to put a title on it. It's like TV, radio, podcast. I'm going to have to write that down. See, I'm writing this down right now. So yeah, TV, radio, podcast. And we talked earlier as well too on the show when, you know, how you, keep calendars and everything. You got Calendly. People save things on the, their phones, their laptops, their Apple phones and everything. But for some of us, we still have the basic folder, because you never know what's going to happen when it comes to the end of time here. So yeah.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you could see these numbers. See all these numbers? This is for my reels.
Oh,
and
wow.
It takes me like an hour to do my numbers each day. An
oh
hour,
my gosh.
I was because gonna say, right now we're at 33 million views and counting. It takes me that long to do all the numbers now.
Oh my gosh. And then you show me a picture of some art and all that. So it's like, you know, you've got some really cute artwork right there. It's like, I want to see that again. You show me a picture with all the numbers. You got some artwork on. So it's like, is that the person that's doing all the numbers for you or something?
No, I have to do all the numbers. No,
I'm kidding. I saw a picture there. I saw a little picture. I thought that person must be helping you.
Yeah, she is. She's a little 3-year-old girl. It's not mine. She's my friend's. You know, so she comes in. You know how they are. They interrupt you. Can I have this? Oh, I made this for you. So I'm like, oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get that all the time, except we have a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, which is called a 4-legged dog. So that's like, you know,
absolutely,
our version of a kid. Yeah, beagle boxer and, you know, lovable, loyal, can be stubborn. And of course, you know, they'll eat just about everything and anything and even come up, except, well, the problem is she's not able to come downstairs and everything. But if I were to do it upstairs, she's probably up on my lap. She's probably getting attention and everything else. And of course, you get that on podcasts these days, too, where you just have, you know, dogs, cats, and you know, kids coming in, opening doors and all that. I mean, this is a new brand of broadcasting here. So it's like, you know.
Yep. And you have to be able to adapt and adjust to all of those new things that are going on. There's distractions.
Right, exactly too. And of course, Movie Reviews and More, you've had 33 million views and everything, and it keeps growing and growing. And you've had some great guests lately too, and maybe some coming up. And you had some great guests on.
Yeah, we have a lot of good things. And, you know, my only concern is, as we were saying before we started, being booked so far, like we're booked like right after July 7th right now.
Wow.
And like when I go back to Los Angeles in, what, mid-April, I don't know where I'm going after that. I have no idea. I don't know if I'm going back to Atlanta or to go to North Carolina or if I'm going to a friend's town. I don't know. But, you know, because we're on our 100th, next Tuesday will be our 100th live show in a row.
Wow, 100 live shows. That is a milestone. Congratulations.
Well, because we don't do anything that's taped, but we go straight through the year. And you know, and I hate it when you get sick of something like that, because I know you work your butt off doing everything that you're doing where you are, you know? But it's hard to do that, but I don't want to do a taped show. So no matter where I am in cross country, I do a live show. And it's almost impossible to have a good, clean show each Tuesday. But we do our best, you know?
And of course, that's also magic as well, too. It's you know, you have access. You got StreamYard, you got Zoom, and of course, you got you know, Talk for Radio, KH4 Radio, and also iTube247.com. And I'm looking to I may as well break the news right now. I'm looking to do a live stream one day on StreamYard. I have not decided I may as well break the news right now with Brian Sebastian here on the Mike Wagner Show. And you can tell that to your audience as well, too, Brian. So.
That's funny. No, you should. StreamYard is good. Zoom was never set up to be with there's so many people on it. That's not how they set it up,
Right. And of course, you think of Zoom now, it looks almost like the Hollywood Squares of the Brady Bunch. You either have Alice in the middle or you have a smart ass named Paul Lynde in there just cracking jokes every time you try to talk about something. So
For all those people who remember Bewitched and Uncle Arthur,
yes, that's right. I remember that. Boy, it's like, where has good TV gone these days? I guess that's a big question. Where's good TV gone?
It's on Icon and a couple of those older classic things. iTube 247 has a lot of classics on, like Bonanza and things like that.
Oh, nice. Okay. And of course, your amazing show as well too. And of course, it's also free as well too. You can also get on StreamYard and movie reviews and more. And plus, I saw your you show me those numbers. You also had your friend's 3-year-old just draw on that, and I think that'll qualify for the Dreamweaver's artist ranch. And how's that coming these days?
Good, actually, because we didn't go through the banks. We always had to ask people to either sponsor or donate. So it's never been done like that before. Usually people have investors. Problem with that is like you're beholden to them in a certain way, and we never wanted to be beholden to anybody.
Right, exactly. And what's been some of the latest projects that you've had, and what are some of the upcoming projects?
Well, it's always about finding those great companies that nobody knows of, especially if I'm at the CES show. Finding those great toys, like, I'll give you, I don't know, I actually don't have it in front of me, but it's one of the things where I'm finding in the toy world, I'm always finding great things. And I like these things like that. And it's one of those things where no one knows a lot of great technology, a lot of great toys exist, and a lot of art. So when I'm seeing these things for the first time, I might be the only press person who might have access to these things. And I'd
Really?
love that at that point. What was the number one movie last year? Barbie. Where did it come from? The toy world. And I keep reminding people like that. There was no, I saw one big camera this year at Toy Fest in February. And I'm like, it's still, I look at it, it's mine. And I get to share it with whoever I want to share it with. You know what I mean? That's great.
Nice. Okay. It's funny you mentioned Barbie because I was going to watch that. I put it off. I put it off. I was afraid Ken might be jealous, but then I was shocked to hear that was up for movie of the year. And I think it was either whoever played Barbie, whoever played Ken was considered for a for an Oscar. I'm like, seriously, for a movie like that?
Yeah, it made $1 billion, It did quite well.
Right, exactly. And of course, you also have the electronics show that's going on in Las Vegas as well. Every January, there's always one out there too. It's like everything just comes out, around this time.
Yeah, it's always great to see a lot of great smart technology. Like one of the things that I found was this. I still have never gotten COVID. So Eden Park, it's a mobile scanner. What it does is scans everything in the room and it kills all the germs and everything like that.
Oh my
So
goodness, that's so cool.
they gave me that, and another guy gave me this, AirWear. You wear it around your neck and it kills all the germs around it. So they love when I do when I daily stuff like this,
Oh
So I like
my
this.
goodness.
These are just some of the things that just happen to be around me that I'm traveling with. So nobody knows about a lot of these things. So I like to be the first person to debut
When I saw that AirWear
them.
thing and it wraps around your neck, it made me think of this one device that's used to control neck injuries and prevent getting hit around the neck and everything like that. And I can't think of a name right now. I had a guest on my show and it what was it called? The eye collar, Q collar, and I think that's gonna be very popular. And players using the NFL right now and wearing that Q collar significantly reduced injuries. When I looked at that, it's just like, that's gonna be almost like the new must have of the future. It's like whatever neckwear, Q collars, or you have that Airwave, or it could be like, oh gosh, what else could they put it on? And of course, back in the day they had all this jewelry and all that, or maybe they'll have like just stud 24 karat diamonds around a neck collar. I could see J Lo or Beyonce. Maybe Jay-Z in a male version doing something like that. So, neckwear could, could be a next best thing.
Well, and that's why it's great to find a lot of these products that people don't know of. And I just happen to be pulling stuff out that just happens to be near me. But I have another one, energy lounger.
Energy
It's like an
lounger. Wow.
infrared that you get on, and it actually regenerizes your body. And I love that. So they're coming on our show pretty soon, in the next couple of weeks. So I'm talking to all the CEOs of the company. So and they all need help. So
Oh my
that's what we're
God.
doing.
So it's not just movie reviews and more. It's not just movie reviews. It's new products, new technology, new art, and something could be coming out, like say with the airwaves or anything around your neck, that could be the next fashion statement that could hit your Target, Walmart, or even Amazon, or any store coming to you in about 3 to 6 months or so.
Well, you'll see it that the next red carpet that I have it with. I like to bring these things to red carpets. You know why? Because nobody else has them. Nobody else does that. So I like to be the only one that does these things because I'm the only one that basically has them, and I love it.
And certainly as well too. And of course, what else has been happening in Brian Sebastian? We'll find out in a very quick minute. You are listening to the Mike Wagner Show at the MikeWagnerShow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at SonicWebStudios.com for all your needs. Look at a professional website without breaking your budget. Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention the Mike Wagner Show, get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout out to our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson Zia. If you love fast paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. Missing is fast paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. It takes place in 4 countries, 2 strangers, 1 target, where truth is illusion and those who love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson Zia has got great reviews in Eve, Love, and Endures by Hollywood celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forbes, Riley, and many others. So grab your copy today for Girls Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on over 40 podcast platforms. We're in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also, Anchor FM, Apple Music, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Also on Podbean and other podcast platforms. Follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and more. Take us with you on any mobile device. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia. For great books like Missing, Once, and Wrinkles. Also T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia. Check it out today and support the Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and the MikeWagnerShow.com. We're here with the amazing, multi-talented TV, radio, podcast host Brian Sebastian. Movie reviews and more here on the Mike Wagner Show, and the founder of the Dreamweavers Artist Ranch as well. And I could see that maybe turning to a neckwear and all that, but I was just looking at this here. It's just like it takes a lot of work and everything. And I wasn't sure if I asked this question. How did movie reviews and more actually got started? What was the first thought that said, I'm going to do a movie review show?
Because I used to be in home video. Remember video stores?
I
that don't
remember,
no longer.
Yes. The old Blockbuster. Yes. And there's one left. Was it up in Bend, Oregon? That's the last one standing. Oh, my God.
It's either in Oregon or Alaska, one of the two.
Really? I thought it was in Oregon the whole time, unless it's in central Alaska, maybe occupied by what, 20, 30 people or something?
It's still there. And I'm glad that it's still there because people still pay homage to it. They don't want it to go away. And I do like that. So that's a good thing. I knew when Blockbuster was going to do this because I used to have to go up against them. We put a dent in when I ran Extravaganza Video. That's what our video store was called. We had 3 locations. So I started looking to see how marketing was turned out there. And this is in the early 90s. So when a lot of people from the entertainment world would come in and they loved my movie taste that I gave to them. It wasn't like Quentin Tarantino. There was Quentin Tarantino, Kevin Smith, and myself that worked in video stores. Those two became directors and actors, producers, and in front of the camera. I didn't want to do that stuff. I wanted to be the person who helped promote the movies, if that makes sense, which is why I became Movie Reviews and More. I always knew that more was going to be bigger than the movies, but I didn't know what that meant. Now I understand years later. but it all came out of being in the home video world. And it started from that because one of the clients would come in, the customers would come in and say, "You're really good at what you do. You ever thought about doing movie reviews?" And I said, "How do you do that?" And he goes, "Well, you have to be accredited by the MPAA." And so I called the MPAA, and it was like calling the Wizard of Oz. They go, "Can I just come by there and bring it?" No, they go, "You have to get five producers and five directors." And you know who the people she named off was? "You've got to get Francis Ford Coppola, Steven Spielberg to endorse you to verify that you're a real movie critic." I'm like, "How am I supposed to do that? I don't know them and they don't know
And
me."
of course, they're cranking the machine. The wizard knows everything. And just a little man behind all that smoke.
Well, that's how it started. So it's one of those things where the loophole, and nobody knew it, was public access. You remember public access
I
shows?
remember, yes, I remember watching some of the shows over there. It's like some had puppets, some just, had plain old chairs, a table, and of course he had a glass of water, and it wasn't all this smoke and mirror and lights and laser shows and 50 girls singing and all that, or hair bands getting up and doing their intermission, whatever. It's just just a simple chair, and he had a table, he had a glass of water. It made me think of the old talk shows on NBC, CBS, and ABC, even a 1960 presidential debate. It wasn't all this pomp and circumstance. It was just two people sitting there, really polite, in ordinary office chairs, having a table and just a glass of water and just talking.
You
As I was watching this.
just brought back memories of that because it was so true. And then everybody was nervous because they weren't used to coming on that. And if you remember, Channel 3, at least in Los Angeles, and most channels, Channel 3 was when you put your VCR in to turn on the channel. So
I
when you turned it on, you
remember.
turned it on to public access. So I was amazed when people would come into the store. So, "Oh, I saw your show." I'm like, "You saw my show?" Nobody's, I'm like, "Where?" And he goes, "Oh, it's on Channel 3. It comes on this time." I'm like, "Yeah, you actually saw it?" I'm like, "Well, what did you think?" He goes, "Oh, we liked it." I'm like, "Okay." I wasn't used to that because I'm still working behind the counter in a video store. But that's how I got accredited. I got a letter saying you are accredited. And then so the secret was what I did was I got five different directors as I was the producer and host to be accredited to do movie reviews. That's
Nice.
how I did it. Till this day, I'm the only one that's ever done that. How do I know that? Because they know that by being accredited, because you only had so many people who are allowed to do the junkets, meaning doing celebrity one-on-ones for movies or DVDs or book releases and things like that. That's
Oh my
how.
gosh, I think you're putting Siskel and Ebert to shame practically, which is a good thing. So
Hey, I knew I couldn't do a thumbs up, so we created, my old partner, he's no longer with us, Bill Margo, created the four E's. I go, "Bill, that's pretty good." He goes, "Take it and run with it, kid." I said, "So movie reviews and more, our rating system is the four E's. Any good movie or book or TV show, CD, whatever, piece of art, is it engaging? Is it educational? Is it engrossing? Does it wrap around your head? Can you see it?" So, any of those are, entertainment. Those became our four E's. And if it was
Wow, okay.
bad, I'd just say it's just an empty movie.
Oh, I was
Still
gonna
E.
say, I give a thumbs up on that one, I'll tell you that. So
Well, it was also an honor to meet Roger Ebert. The one time I met him was in Toronto at the Toronto Film Festival. He's just sitting there like this, waiting to go in to do his TV interview. I said, "Roger, I like what you do." I didn't say I wanted to be on a show. I was too shy to say that, but I was like, that was
right.
the only time. And then later on when he passed, I got a chance to meet his wife. So I like that. I never forget that. Because again, you never know when you're going to meet people and you might be, probably won't get a chance to meet them again.
Right, exactly it too. And of course, I was thinking about the whole public access, and of course, you remember watching Wayne's World. I don't know if it was fictional, but that was up in Chicago, and they had a public access channel and it had a lot more viewers, a lot more followers than some of the t local TV shows they had around there on the big networks. They were hooked on local, totally independent and even outdid the independent channels. It was like, you know how they did it? They just kicked back and just had fun. That was it. No rules, no nothing. I think of public access, it's like you can do whatever the heck you pleased, even 10 at night or afterwards. It's like, boy, some of the things people did and got no right.
Well, it's because they didn't care. But the problem was with me was that I couldn't do that because, I got into interviewing celebrities. So what do celebrities have? Publicists. So I couldn't say something bad like a Siskel and Ebert because I would never be invited to that. So I had to learn to play a game with unwritten rules that had rules. You can imagine that. So imagine treading all of those things like that and getting in and being able to interview people. And that's how it started, movie reviews and more.
Who is like some of the more notables that you had in the early days with movie reviews and more, where it's like you had someone that was like a nobody and all of a sudden they became a big time or somewhere along those
Well,
lines?
remember Tammy Lee Webb, Buns of Steel, Abs of Steel?
I
Remember
remember,
her?
yes, but the Buns of Steel, right?
Yeah, I want to have Tammy come back on the show because she sold 15 million VHS tapes. Remember that? 15
VHS,
million.
my gosh. And we're still talking about Blockbuster back in the day. And I remember the VHS first came out. They had the beta, the video disc, you know, that big one. And I remember there was a story, I think the VHS almost did not come about. You know, there were some Hollywood producers or studios that were suing the videotape industry, think it's gonna cut into sales, but really it's like it enhanced more sales and made more profits
Absolutely.
for the
They made
studios.
more
It's
money. Any
oh,
movie that bombed, they made their money back on VHS sales. Now they don't have that. Now they
right.
have that, they have streaming. They can't make that money back.
And
That's why all the studios are in debt.
of course the thing is that you cannot track streaming, is it's like, you know, it's like with Spotify, it's like, hey, I get a stream. It's like, you know, I got 10 millions. It's like, you know, how do you know who's streaming, where you're streaming, how much you're making, everything? But then when you're holding a physical piece, like say a tape, a disc, or anything like that, or let's say you buy something square like this, this will know that how many sales you do, you take inventory and everything else. But one of the big drawbacks I see with streaming digital is like you don't have that copy, you don't have that intimacy that you hold it, you cherish and all that. It's like, you know, one day it's like, you know, something goes out, it just goes off into thin air.
Yeah, I got rid of all my movie collections. I just like when I had albums. I think I had over 1,100 albums because I was a disc jockey, and you remember what that was like. And
Oh, yeah.
then, 99, 2000, I got rid of them all. I sold them all to Amoeba, and it was one of those things. Well, I don't need them anymore. And then now I was like, now I could use some of them again because it what vinyl sounds like. Same thing with those VHS. They used to send them to me in the mail. I used to get about 23 of VHS tape screeners
Oh
in the
my
mail
gosh.
a week. A week, Michael. I
Whoa.
would get 5 to 7 a day from different studios, independent people like that. Hey, will you watch our stuff? And then at that point, they cost $98.73. And you made your money back 6 weeks later because of all the rentals that would come in. That's how you made money back in the old days of VHS and video stores.
And they also kept tracks as well too, like with Blockbuster, Family Video, and I think there was a competitor or two to Blockbuster. And oh gosh, it's been so long, you know, having all these video stores and they have competitions, but it's also a fun competition. I remember Blockbuster was like, yeah, Blockbuster here, Blockbuster over there, over there, over there. It was like the Dollar General back in the day, where it's like you just had like a store for every
Do you
two,
know
three blocks,
why?
or even Walgreens.
Well, here's why. They always wanted to have a Blockbuster on every corner. And I said, well, you can't have a Blockbuster on every corner, but that's what they wanted. And that's a bad thing because that means you were going to eventually buy up all the mom and pops. So think about this. We did a thing called quarter days. Tuesday, Thursday, you can rent as many movies, up to 10 movies for a quarter. Now,
Amazing.
remember, I'm watching all these movies. Even I can't watch 10 movies in one day. The most I could watch in one day was 7.5. If I started exactly at 6 in the morning and I ended at midnight, that's 7.5 movies.
Oh
And
my
the average,
gosh.
think
Ooh.
about it, the average movie was about 2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's still kind of the same way now. That's a long time. And then if I had an hour bathroom break or I went for a walk for an hour to go get something to eat, I'd come back. That's how I remember how I did all this stuff. And when I'm looking at all the movies that I watch, Mike, I still keep track Just to see, this is my numbers that I write down each day of all my daily numbers. That's each day that I keep that. But if I'm keeping track of my movies, I still have them. I write them down like this. See, this is every single movie that and TV show that I've ever seen in a notebook. I've been keeping track since 1992, Michael.
Wow.
In case anybody ever doubts me. So again, having that validation of all the stuff that we do, I can validate everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just turning around, picking up stuff as you're talking about stuff.
There you go. Yeah. And certainly we're getting into the history of it and whatever else. And I also think too that, I got those red boxes that kind of took things out of the equation as well too.
Let me ask you this, Mike, how many people do you know are going to rent stuff at Redbox now?
I'll be honest with you.
Nobody.
Not a lot of people.
They're not doing that anymore unless you're old time and you don't have anything that you're streaming. Because almost everybody has Netflix, at least, unless you don't have a TV, which is understandable.
Right. Or it's just like some people don't own a computer or they keep their things around or, DVDs, VCRs, and of course, backup entertainment and everything. And you were talking about albums earlier. I still hung on to the majority of my albums. My daughter happened to take some. My kids happened to take some. And unlike most people who gave them away, I kept this like I can just say, hey, this is something I've had. This is something I play. And, I look over here and it's just like, I'm trying to turn that. I'm trying to turn the best as I can here. And without interrupting that, got my turntable over here with a stereo. So,
what happened? I moved a lot. So after a while, you get tired of moving everything. So that was why.
Right. And of course,
110 times in 31 years.
God.
That's a lot of moving.
It does. Yeah. And of course, you want to give away your stuff or sell like on Craigslist or anything like that. And this is the first time I picked up computers, just turn things over like that. But I kept some albums around and I want to do a thing where I just want to buy the same album with a brand new vinyl that they have out, compare the old vinyl that they how they did it. And my daughter surprised me on one of my birthdays, got me Queen A Day at the Races. That was back in 73. And I played that and I thought, wow, I wonder what happens if I try to find the original, which came out that year and it was used. I don't care if it was used, scratch, or anything like that. It's like, how does the old vinyl compare to the new vinyl? And of course, you see these albums out there. It's like you sell them at Walmart, Target, and all that. They're like an ungodly 20, 30 bucks.
Well, the thing about these things now in Los Angeles, they have the last record store. We did a thing on that where there was a movie that was 4 minutes. It was a short film, 4 minutes, and ended up winning. They get so many records that are sent to them. They're still in business because people go out to support them and buy the vinyl, which is great. That's what you want. And then Amoeba, they had to move because if your rents get too high, how do you make your money back to stay in business? That's a problem with the landlords upping the rent. You're putting a lot of small mom and pop businesses out of business, and that's not good. So you want to support those things like that. So even at CES this year, I saw the Victor record player. Now they have the Victor record player, which is classic, which is great. Now it has Bluetooth in it, and they look really good. And then Aretha Franklin, they sent me Aretha Franklin record player with 3 Aretha Franklin albums with Bluetooth, and it said Aretha Franklin on it. And I'm like, I love this.
Oh, my gosh.
It was great. Yeah.
Wow.
And it sounds like a regular old-fashioned stereo. It sounds that good. The quality's that good.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and in fact, I was thinking about getting one of those old-time stereos. It's not the ones where you just like stack up from the 90s where you had the cassette, and I think you also had the CD player, and I remember those CD players. It's like that single CD. They're priced at, what, $500, like an ungodly price. And then
there was nothing ever wrong with those.
No.
All they did was they just – because I remember I used to make my own 8-traps.
I remember that. Uh-huh.
And then when they were starting to get rid of 8-tracks, I started making my own cassettes. And as you know, they started going smaller. And then when they started going digital in the mid to late 90s, well, now you go into DVDs. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. How is this going to go up against albums smaller compared to bigger? Well, everybody started getting rid of their album collection at that point. Now everybody wants to have them.
Right. And it's like, they want something to hold, something you want to treasure, or even like you sell, like say, sell for crypto, NFT, or anything like that. Or even like, say you go to rummage sales. And of course, now it's just like you got, record swaps and everything, they're starting to make a comeback. It's like not just,
Yeah.
just any old swap. It's like they bring their albums in. You can buy, sell, trade, talk shop, and everything like that. So, in fact, we've got one up in Bismarck coming up on my birthday, May 11, which I'll be 60. And I'll be celebrating by going to a record swap. So I'll be celebrating
That's
that
good.
one. I mean,
That's
who
but
needs?
the but it's fun.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, you get to look at all the albums. You get to talk music, and I happen to have the Peter Gabriel album back in 1980. I think it's
Oh
maybe
yeah.
sold 100,000 copies on Mercury. It had a melting face. I bought it because it had a melting face. I looked cool, and they looked at me like, "You blew $4.99 on that." I'm like, it's a cool album cover, and Games Without Frontiers is great. And all of a sudden, it becomes an iconic album. And he's on a different label, and I'm sure the ones on the original Mercury could probably go up for like a good price. But of course, I'm not going to sell it, guys. So don't come to me, guys. Ask me, hey, can I buy it off you? The answer is no.
Mike, I used to spend $90 a week in the late 70s on albums.
Oh
I
my
spent
God.
all my money on albums. That's how much of a disc jockey I was on albums. And I remember till this day, my mom said, "Why do you spend all your money on albums? You need to save your money." I'm like, "Yeah, but I need to have the latest album. The latest thing is something that's coming up, you know?" And
Right.
that's how I started my collection.
It's also your future, and also who knows, it became your future, it became your entity, it became your identity and everything like that. And I had some people say, it's like, why'd you buy this album? It sounds like crap. And I said, because I see something in it. And I just happened to well, I think the most unusual one was that I think one year I wanted Year of the Cat by Al Stewart on the old Janis label. Then he had Chicago at that candy bar, and my ki the classmates here talking like, God, 74, 75. I was about maybe like, what, 10, 11, 12 years old, grade school. They looked at me like, you are such an idiot. You're weird. And it's like, here I am. It's like they became very iconic albums. Like, well, who's the idiot right now, guys?
Absolutely. No, that's being able to see something in the future. I remember a gold album by a group called Side Effect. They only had one hit called Bananas. It was like Bananas, and that was the song, but it was the gold album of that. And on the cover sheet was this band, five musicians with a big banana. I said, but when you pulled it out, it was a gold album. I'm like, well, this is pretty cool. So that's why I bought the album. That one song, Bananas, I still play on YouTube now.
Oh my gosh, I think we're at to find that album somewhere.
Well, yeah, the album covers were interesting.
And of course, you even the double ones, you have the ones that pop out, and of course, you pull out the ones that have more artwork. You also look at the label itself, it has artwork on it. You put on a
Who
turntable, you watch,
recorded it, who produced it, all of that stuff.
and you watch it spin and everything, or even like just go eye level right now, and you just watch it go round and round and round. It's like you're like a dog
Those were
just
the
watches.
days.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I think everybody should get in this immersed experience as well too. And of course, for all the Gen Z, the millennials, the alphas, and everything, I think you should probably just step away from YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you're doing. If you're doing those videos and everything, just take a time out and just get a record player and just instead of spending hours on a game or phone or anything like that, just spend an hour just watching a record spin and play some music.
Absolutely. Those were the days. Well, those are what led up to all the stuff that we're doing. She ran track. I can't remember right what her name was. This wasn't Tanya something, I want to say. She ended up winning like eight gold medals in the 100.
Oh,
For
wow.
her, she was like one of the first people I did opposite Tammy Lee Webb. And then you get into Van Damme and all those people like that. We started hanging out, Matthias Hughes, martial artists. All those people, you started hanging out and you started to become friends. And then, like, what do you do with this stuff? And then you start, well, I got a public access and they would come on. Who knew?
Right. And of course, we also had a couple of times Mickey Burns out of New York City. He's got a public access, and he's still going strong. He's been doing about what, 10, 20,
20.
30 years. And of course, he had all the greats on there. Tony Orlando was his favorite, and I think there was also, say Lorraine Landon, and I think anybody that came by New York would always stop by Mickey Burns and be on the show. It's like, hey, I'll walk by. It's like, hey, I want to come on your show, or say, hey, you want to come on and all that stuff. So, people walk by
Absolutely.
back in the day. It's like, even go by a radio station, like in a downtown, I see a DJ. It's like, hey, can I come on, say hi or something? It's like a lot of times, come on in, be on the air and whatever else. Or if you're like a singer looking for a break, it's like, let you come in, play your song, and off you go. So you never know who gets to listen to you or,
Well, that's where great documentaries come in on how they got their album played back then. And the stories are great. And then now you see a lot of biopics doing well. They should have always done well. They didn't think there was an audience. Oh, that's pretty stupid, Mike, right? The albums that we're talking about, the videos that we're talking about, there's always an audience for all of these things. They just didn't want to take a chance or they didn't know any better.
And of course, the thing I was reading this too, which I found rather surprising that the younger generation don't want to see all these remakes, prequels, sequels, and everything else. The studios were all making money off of. They want to see original material. I mean, Disney had like the best formula before they got away from it was that original stories from Walt himself, or Warner Brothers of movies from the Warner Brothers, or like say with Columbia from a couple of people themselves, or United Artists, Charlie Chaplin, and all the others. Like stories just coming from themselves. So that was
You
the
could
thing
see a
that's
lot
just
of those
amazing.
great documentaries on Amazon Prime. That's where you could see all of them. You could see one is called The Mogul on the Warner Brothers and how they started their studio. And that's good because Jack ended up taking everything and then making it his own. So those are great documentaries to see, and people should see them.
And it's also a good learning tool as well, too, like how Johnny Cash got started, Willie Nelson got started. And I think I watched a couple of times, a couple of versions of the Jackie Gleason story, how the Honeymooners got started. I thought, wow, what a story. And I think the one thing that blew me away about Jackie Gleason, you think, he studied classical music and he made this great music and all this beautiful music. It's like he never learned classical music. He couldn't even read or understand music. It's like it was all in his head and explained the process of it. And I thought, what a genius.
Well, I couldn't read music either. I wasn't taught to read music. I was taught to, as a drummer in a world of drum and bugle corps, play this like this. So I can remember that. So I can still do that. And then when I started to read music again, I was so happy because I was never taught how to read music. So in high school, my sophomore, junior year, I started to learn how to read music. And I'm like, oh, I know this because I knew every classic song. Because we played it, though someone played it in the drum corps, so I knew it. And I'm like, go play this like this. I'm like, because I already knew the beat of it and what it sounded like. And I just had to like, oh, okay, I can do this. So I was so excited when I could finally read the notes on a paper. I was really excited.
And by the way, I got to go back to no microphone. I'm about to look for that. So, well, I have to get one of those old RCA, like those ribbons and everything else. Maybe just, hook it up and all be mellow and all that. I think I should start a collection of microphones next time. But anyway, getting back to what you're saying too, with reading music and everything, it's like it's all digital. It's like people just forget how to read sheet music, or just try and experiment. Like digital goes away. It's like have them learn all that and see how really difficult it is and appreciate it.
Exactly. And that's the art. That's why when I'm seeing drum corps and I'm seeing people read the sheet music, they get all this stuff sent to them in advance. In the old days of what we had to do, we actually had to learn it and be in person to do it. Now they could just send it over the airways and you can learn it.
And also like on Zoom, StreamYard, or Microsoft Teams, Skype back in the old days, it's like you just do it online on a computer, and some even do it on phones too. So I mean it's advanced in ways too, but it's not like having it just in person, one-on-one and all that. And I think we need to encourage young ones out there to do things one-on-one, and don't be afraid. It's like we don't bite. I mean we're humans just like everybody. We're gentle, and we enjoy being loved and appreciated. We don't bite people or kill or anything like that. So, like,
No,
oh my
we're not
gosh.
like that. We're not like that. And that's the whole thing. You learn to enjoy it, and that's the part about movie reviews and more. You get a chance to bring in some of the old, some of the new, and you mix it up. And you teach everybody, and you get a chance to learn new things. That's really what it's about.
And also learn from each other. You interact, you can crack jokes or whatever else. And I was on with you a couple of times, and Nancy Powder was terrific. She ended up being my show, and I think there was Natasha, and I learned a lot from her, and learn a lot from you. And there's always others to learn from. And of course, Sherry Nelson, she's been with you for God knows how long, and she's still going strong. It's amazing.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, some people like take off after a while and then they go do their own thing. Some people they peak and then they start to retreat. And that's the interesting thing because you've got to keep going forward. And if you're not, then you're not growing. You get
Right. And
stagnant and you can't, and then you don't do anything, you know?
That's exactly it. And of course, I think what people should also realize that you can't just take it for granted. You can't, just bite the hand that feeds you and everything like that. So you gotta learn how to deal with people. And of course, the best part about movie reviews. And since we're on the Mike Wagner show, and I want to make a strong effort to get this out faster than we can, since this is being taped and everything. What's coming up? Movie reviews and more. This coming show, the next show, and the next show after that.
A lot of things in the toy industry, a lot of things in the art world, a lot of things in the tech, small mom and pop businesses like the products I was just showing you, they're all coming on. They're all the CEOs are coming on, which is great. I love having access to CEOs and and helping a lot of those small mom and pop businesses. And as you know, if you remember, I like anything that's eco-friendly, environmentally friendly, sustainable, and then for our ranch, net zero. So we want to be able to showcase all of those products on that. And if you get a chance, it's always dreamweaver.org. So www.dreamweaver.org, and you can see all the things that we're starting to put together. You'll start to see a lot of the products and things that are found around the world that'll all be in one place. And then if you're lucky enough to be invited, like Mike, then you'll be able to come to our ranch and see the showcase of all the stuff that's on that.
And certainly indeed. And where can we find movie reviews and more at?
Every Tuesday on Talk4 Media, K4HD Radio. Always streaming on iTube 247 out of Franklin, Tennessee, Worldwide TV Network, Woman on TV, dot TV, all of those.
All right. Well, certainly check that out. And of course, don't forget good old Howard Wiggins as well, too. One of my
Oh
favorites. Yeah.
yeah, Howard said he had a good time on your show.
Oh, he was fantastic. Nancy was great. And Galit, I had great chance to talk as well. Love to have her on. Natasha. And I mean, and I'm going to try to get an RCA microphone as well, too, one of those ribbons. So we'll have the rich sound of that one. So
A lot like Gary Owens.
you got it right. Yeah. So I will make an effort on that. So once again, we're with Brian Sebastian. It's always great having the Mike Wagner show. Brian, very big thank you for your time. You're always great. Let's do it again. And what's the website again? And how do people reach you?
Every Tuesday, we're always live, never taped, always live on Talk4 Media, K4HD Radio. We stream on over 100 platforms all at once around the world, and not a lot of people do it, which is why we do well around the world. And IT247 out of Franklin, Tennessee, always streaming, which is why our numbers go up every day. Woman on TV.tv, Worldwide TV Network, and the www.dreamweaverarts.org. That's www.dreamweaverarts.org.
All right, well, certainly check that out. Brian, very big thank you for your time, for movie reviews and more. You're always amazing. Looking forward to having soon. Keep up the great work. Love to have you back. Wish you all best. And of course, always a great future, and definitely have you on again. I want you on a few more times. I'll make sure you're in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I want to be in that Hall of Fame. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.